Hello and welcome. You're listening to a special podcast on the rupee, or to be more specific, the weakness in the rupee. As you would all be aware, the rupee has hit a record low against the dollar. Now, why is the rupee falling? Has it something to do with the health of the economy? What can the RBI and the government do? Is the situation as dire as it was last in 2013? I'm Santosh Nair, and to answer those questions and many more with me is CNBC TV18's executive editor, Lata Venkatesh, who has been tracking financial markets for over three decades now. Lata, a pleasure to be chatting with you here.
Thank you.
So, tell us, what exactly is causing the rupee to weaken against the dollar at this point?
We have a current account deficit. What it means is we import more than we export. So, we are always looking for dollars. Now, lately, the difference between imports and exports, the current account deficit, has ballooned. We used to have an average monthly deficit of about 15 to 17 billion in goods trade. Now, it is about, that is up until last year, it was, you know, never more than $15-17 billion per month. Now it is about $28 to $30 billion a month. Oil is only part of the reason. If you look at non-oil imports and non-oil exports, non-oil imports over last year have risen by 32%, whereas non-oil exports have gone up by only 8% if you look at the April-August data. So clearly we are in need of dollars. The need for dollars leads to a weakness of the currency and a more expensive dollar. Even if you add services, a lot of people say, you know, we do very well on service exports. I was looking at the April-August goods and service exports versus goods and service imports. Even over there, we have a monthly deficit of about $16 billion. So that is what creates a pressure on the rupee.
So we've also been reading about the weakness in other currencies as well, particularly the pound sterling. Now, does that have any implication for us? Should we be happy or worried that other currencies are also sinking against the dollar?
Well, it's definitely fair that now weakening currency is a cross-country problem. All countries have that because the source of the problem is the dollar. The dollar is becoming very strong and so many currencies are weakening. Therefore, to that extent, we don't have to worry too much. Why do you worry when the currency weakens is that, a lot of foreigners will move away. Our country can become destabilized by the rapid depreciation. But if everyone is in the same boat, then there is a bit of a consolation. Also, our macros are better than the macros of many other countries in terms of inflation and growth. Our growth is better and our inflation is less than several competing countries. Just on the word pound, pound is in a very bad state. They are in a position of double-digit inflation, and at such a time, they have cut taxes. It's a huge gamble. What happens when you cut taxes? You have more money jingling in your pocket. You will spend. That will increase inflation even more, which is why interest rates and bond yields and pound have gone through the roof. So we are not at all in that bad a position.
So now, as far as India is concerned, now, what are the problems that a weak currency can cause? And what are the benefits, if any?
Well, the problem is primarily for us, unavoidable imports, which is crude. So, you know, if you are multiplying one barrel of crude by 75 a year ago, now you have to multiply it by 82. So, the cost of the crude has become expensive, has gone up. But all our imports are not so urgent or unreplaceable. We import steel, chemicals, phones, textiles, apparels. All this are made in India also. We tend to buy the imported good. If the dollar becomes expensive, then those imports become expensive and the Indian consumer will turn to the domestic supplier. So depreciation is good for the domestic competitor. You will often see when, the rupee weakens, JSW stock price goes up. Why? Because it will face better consumption at home. It is good for them. The other set category which benefits are the exporters. Obviously, if the Indian rupee is cheaper than the Bangladeshi taka or the Chinese yuan, in fact, the rupee has appreciated versus the yuan, we should worry. We would rather it depreciate as much as the yuan or even more so that we can get some of the Chinese buyers of, say, textiles or other such competing goods. So a gentle depreciation is good for the country.
Now, we keep hearing about the RBI intervening in the forex market to support the rupee. Now, how does the RBI do that?
That's a very good question because the RBI is not a trader. It doesn't have a trading desk. You are not buying from the RBI. So the RBI intervenes through public sector banks, usually through SBI, but not necessarily only through SBI. What we are given to understand, and this is only gupshup, I haven't seen it happen. Dealers tell us that in these big public sector trading halls, especially like SBI, the moment there is an RBI call, there is a specific hotline. When that phone rings, the chief dealer runs inside a room. It's closed, okay. And what conversation happens there stays there. But SBI or whoever is the public sector bank in question is buying on behalf of RBI.
So does the RBI ever say that it has bought dollars or sold dollars?
Lately, the governor has been saying that, yes, we intervene in the market. I mean, this is actually an undeniable fact. Lately, even the BOJ intervened and they put it on record. So the G4 countries don't normally intervene. This is more the non-G4 or non-G7 countries who intervene. And the governor has said, of course, we are in the market, but we are doing it to smooth volatility, not to protect a level. So in a way, it is in the public domain, but they don't tell you on a daily basis. Like today, was RBI in the market? Were they buying or were they selling? That is remains a dealing room gossip or a dealing room buzz. On a daily basis, we don't have confirmation.
So, Lata, that brings me to my next question. Is there something like a correct value or fair value of the rupee? Now, how does the RBI judge that the rupee is either overvalued or undervalued?
Now, that again is a very good question and it requires a bit of, understanding the modeling. There is something called the real effective exchange rate. So, that compares the rupee versus 40 countries' currencies. These are the 40 largest trading partners of India. So RBI builds a model. I mean, you and I can also build it if we are mathematically aware. You build that model, you fit in the currency values of all the trading partners plus their domestic inflation. There is high domestic inflation, they will depreciate vis-a-vis your currency. So you put all that into a model and you get an index number. Like you derive the Sensex or the Nifty, this is an index number. When that index is at 100, the rupee is correctly valued. If that index goes to 105, the rupee is overvalued. So RBI works with the RER. It is not sacrosanct. But normally, the RBI allows it to go between 101 and 105. When it is 105, it's clearly overvalued. At that time, RBI comes in and sells dollars so that the rupee depreciates. Contrary-wise, I mean, it tries to keep it in that band. We don't know the real-time value of that RER. At the end of the month, the RBI reveals the RER of the rupee for the previous month. The RBI bulletin has it.
So, Lata, this means that sometimes when the rupee depreciates, the RBI actually allows it to weaken because it's not exactly violating the effective rate.
Exactly. It may be observing in its model that other competing currencies are also depreciating. So the rupee is just finding its own level. Let it find. It may be allowing it. That may not also be the only reason why it is allowing depreciation. Sometimes you don't stand in front of a speeding train. Okay, the dollar is appreciating. Let it blow over. If there are a whole lot of FPIs coming in and selling stocks and buying the dollar, why should RBI give them, 80 rupees? Why should they get out at a good rate? Let them get, 82 for let them pay 82 rupees and get the dollar. Why should they get it away for 79? Sometimes RBI stays over even if it is getting to be undervalued. I mean, if the RER is going to 99, if there are too many people buying the dollar and they're all foreigners, the RBI may stand back, allow a gentle depreciation and come back on a day when the market is thin and bring it back to its proper level.
So now there are comparisons being drawn with the rupee crisis of 2013. Is the situation today as dire as it was 9 years ago?
Certainly not, I would think. In 2013, June, we had already seen 4 years of double-digit inflation. What is inflation? Basically, the currency is buying less in your own country. Then logically, it should buy less of foreign goods also. So a depreciation was warranted at that time. we were also running a very high current account deficit in the year FY13, that is 2012-13. The average current account deficit was 5%. And for one quarter, it I think went even beyond that, beyond 6%. Clearly, we are absorbing, you know, needing more dollars than we are able to earn with our exports. What should you do? You should allow the rupee to depreciate at that time so that you don't buy so many things. At that time, our macros were weak. Our current account deficit was too high. Our inflation was too high. That is not the case now. Our current account deficit this year may be 3-3.5. Again, that's not very good. The correct Lakshman Rekha for RBI is 2.5%. This year, we are a little north of it. But you can suffer that for 1 year or a few months. We are nowhere near as bad as 2013, when our current account deficit was even more than 5% in the last quarter.
So at that time, what had the RBI done to fix the problem?
Oh, that's a very important lesson to remember. You know, we must remember the lessons we did in a crisis. At that time, the RBI raised interest rates very sharply. It raised interest rates by 3 percentage points. So for a person sitting with dollars, if he got like, say, 2% or 3% on the US Treasury at that time, coming to rupees was good because he was getting 10-11%. RBI had raised interest rates by 3 percentage points. So people stayed back in rupees and didn't convert it into dollars. But that's a heavy price to pay. Because of that 11% rate, the domestic recovery also took a backseat. You know, when things become expensive, the economy slows down considerably. We had to wait for the currency to stabilize, and then slowly we brought down the interest rates. We paid a heavy price to stabilize the currency, but that had to be done at that time. We also devised a scheme whereby we attracted NRIs to India, and the RBI said it will bear the swap cost. And 3 years later, you can take it back, and whatever is the swap, RBI will pay.
Just a second. Now, when you say the swap cost, what does it actually mean?
Okay. I mean, it's just that it's a mathematical model. Okay. It will become a bit too expensive for the person who is staying in rupees.
Okay.
And he wouldn't want it. Okay. He wouldn't want to bear that cost. Okay. And so, RBI bears that cost. Okay. That is called the swap cost.
Okay. So, last time the rupee went into a free fall, what were some of the steps that the RBI had taken to arrest the slide?
The first thing RBI did was it raised interest rates sharply by 3 percentage points. So, this made it attractive for people who owned dollars to stay in rupees. Now, normally if you're staying in dollar interest rates at that time were about 2-3%. So, if you bought a one-year treasury with your dollar, you would get 3%. Since India had raised rates, it was very attractive. Even if the rupee depreciated, because you got an interest rate of 10-11%, people stayed in rupees, and that stopped the decline of the dollar rupee. The cost is that when interest rates in the economy rise, you pay a price in terms of growth. Growth also stalled. That was one of the quarters of very low growth. But that price had to be paid because you wanted to stabilize the dollar rupee at that time. The other thing the Reserve Bank did was it made an attractive product for NRIs to invest in India in some NRI bond variety. It was a swap product. A lot of banks offered that product, NRIs invested in it, and 3 years later they could take back the dollars. Whatever cost the banks had to bear in terms of the rupee value at that time, the premium, that was paid by RBI.
So if the rupee depreciated really, it did not hurt those NRIs, in other words?
Exactly. That cost was borne by the Reserve Bank. But in 3 years, the Modi government had come in, India was doing well, so the dollar had depreciated again. So when the banks paid back the dollars, actually Reserve Bank did not even lose money.
Well, thank you, Lata, for sharing those insights. It was wonderful chatting to you and taking a trip back memory lane as well as trying to understand what's happening in the currency market right now.
Thank you, Satosh.